Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Friar, and Gay Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from Middletown, New York. And today we are getting into the sixth dwelling place of the interior castle. I'm going to cover this in four episodes, so over 2 weeks. What I'm going to say in these podcasts are not going to cover everything in the sixth dwelling. It's just my hope is to give you a little intro and to help you feel comfortable reading this dwelling, because this is the biggest one in terms of length of the whole interior castle. The way we break it, it's 11 chapters. Has a variety of things. This is the chapter that really gets into the notion of betrothal. The fifth dwelling is sort of a time of meeting, you know, the bride, the bridegroom, getting to know each other. Betrothal is more of a formal deepening of that relationship that leads to the matrimony of the seventh dwelling. So what this sixth dwelling, many different scholars that have studied Teresa of Avila, think what's going on here is, and she just doesn't cover it. What she speaks about in the sixth dwelling isn't just here. She covers it. She writes about it in a portion of her life, the autobiography, chapter 16 to 21, I think 23 to 39 or 40. It's in the spiritual testimonies also. But this is sort of, some would use the language of John of the Cross, you know, a dark night period for these. This dwelling seems to cover about a 15-year span of her life where she is just going through a deeper longing for God. She's experiencing ecstasies and raptures. And yet, you know, some of that what was satisfying has now become dry. She's also dealing with external issues. There's her writings are being put under a deeper scrutiny in terms of the Inquisition in Spain. Many of the theologians of Avila are struggling with what she's writing. There's a lot of debate back and forth whether or not she's an authentic witness to the mystical tradition up until that point. So there's a lot of things that are going on. You know, in this particular dwelling place, you know, the soul in these chapters, this dwelling place, you know, you become somewhat wounded by love of the spouse. You know, there's a lot of purification that happens here and a lot of deepening and learning to become more aware of what's going on in terms of the movement of God in one's life. So, you know, next week we're probably going to be talking about ecstasies and raptures. And this episode today is just going to be, you know, a little intro, you know, a little wrestling with, you know, what is going on here. You know, and it's important to understand this text in a little bit of a more autobiographical way, particularly this sixth dwelling. You know, she's writing, you know, oh, this thing, that thing, another thing, but it's really coming out of her own experience, like much in the text. But this was over such a raw period that it just holds a true mark for what she's trying to do. That's why it's one of her longest dwelling places. It's her longest one. My mind's beginning to get a little jumbled because of the density here. So what's going on here? As Kieran Cavanaugh writes, you know, she contrasts the fears of the sixth dwelling places with the situation in the seventh dwelling places, where the soul fears nothing and has great fortitude because it is always closely joined to God. She describes some of the trials of the sixth dwelling places, end quote. So there is a notion of fear here because of the different temptations that one might have to experience in terms of possibly stepping back away from going into a deeper union. So she uses the seventh dwelling to sort of help to highlight what's going on in the sixth, because there's issues with raptures, there's issues with ecstasies, there's issues with locutions and visions. Like the devil can use these things to get us off the mark, and she's becoming more and more aware of that, and more hesitant of them. As Kieran Cavanaugh goes on to say, quote, "Through experience, without any need for reflection, the soul understands human nothingness. She says grace is not absent, but it is so hidden that not even a spark is visible. The soul doesn't think it has any love for God, or that it ever had any, and any favors it has received seem imagined," end quote. We're really beginning to look in a f as this can ever be totally seen in a full sense, our real nothingness. Like, we are nothing in comparison to God. He is all, we are nothing. And yet we exist in a possible relationship with the Creator himself. And the soul has to struggle with that a little bit, and that notion of the spark, something new is happening here. So the spark of what was, is becoming more obscure about, because what is coming, what is being moved around in the soul, the testing period, part of that betrothal process is each of the two spouses being tested. God was tested through what Christ endured, and therefore we have to go through our own test, not because God wants to trip us up and snare us, but because God wants to have a full embrace of who we are, and therefore we have to willingly reach out to him in the fullness of embrace. So we continue doing the external works of mercy and to have hope in God's mercy for us. So there's no, when we enter into the sixth dwelling, there's a lot of spiritual, what people think of sort of the, ecstatic spiritual things. And all of those are rubbish if one allows oneself to become consumed by some sense of pride that those things may give us. That's why she doesn't fundamentally trust them per se. It is all these things, God may use them, but God may not. But if we, whether they're from God or not, or from the devil, we can become prideful because of them. And that is why this is one of the big struggles that, our nothingness helps us to get over that sin of pride. Not that we are being annihilated per se, but that, in light of God, we are nothing, and God is everything, and yet he reaches out to us, So that's why she hammers throughout this whole, it's in the whole text, but particularly in the sixth dwelling, humility, humility, humility. It is of the utmost importance in terms of becoming ever more awake to the indwelling of the Trinity within our hearts, where we can no longer stand to be distracted or forgetful from God. If we need to become awakened to his majesty, and that's what she's trying to get at, and she's going to use some very stark language, and she's going to try to hammer this home to us. So, the sixth dwelling is sort of a brave new frontier, even more dramatic than the moment we transition from being outside the castle to inside the castle. So this is a little preface for the sixth dwelling to show sort of the radicality of this particular dwelling. And that's why she spends so much time in it, in helping the reader, which of course was her sisters, to get to understand the profundity and radicality of the betrothal period that is the sixth dwelling place. So thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. And may God continue to bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. If you like what I'm doing here, click that subscribe button and leave a little review for me. It really does help other people find me in the search algorithm. And if you want more of my content, you can head over to my website, thefrankfryer.com. There I have different blog posts and articles I've written. I have videos that go up on that website through YouTube. And you can also email me through that website. All of this at thefrankfryer.com. Thank you very much for your time today. I know that I'll be praying for you.